You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Guardian Singles there with Being Alone. Morena, Tom, how are you today?
Morena, Rachel. Good, thank you.
It's nice to chat with you and very exciting to chat about some new Guardian Singles music. I can't believe it's nearly 3 years since you guys put that first album out. How are you feeling about being back in that kind of recording releasing process?
Mixed emotions, to be honest, because it sort of feels, I didn't realise it was that long.
I know.
You just said it now, but it's been ages. Mostly good about it. Pretty keen to have some stuff out. We're really looking forward to it. We kind of felt like we maybe dropped the face of the earth a little bit, especially last year. So Fee and Fiona, who plays drums, and myself, both our family, but we had kids with our respective families.
Awesome.
And partners. We've both got like young children now, so last year was mostly that.
I quite like that you've got you got two band babies now. Is pretty cute though.
I mean, they're not coming to practice at the moment. We can't really find the right earmuffs, but yeah, that's mostly been the priority. But that's the most like un-rock and roll thing to talk about on an interview. So
I don't know. I think it's pretty rock and roll to be working musicians with kids.
My eyes stopped working. We're pretty excited to be playing shows. We've got a tour coming up in July, and the new song came out a couple of weeks ago, and the album comes out in May. That's through Trouble in Mind, which is great to have them supporting us and putting stuff out for us.
They're an awesome record label. I mean, I it's crazy. The 3 years thing is crazy, but I find it crazier in the sense that I'm like, I can't believe, A, the pandemic's been on for that long, but also because I don't feel like you guys have dropped off the face of the earth. I feel like we still listen so much to the first release here at BFM, and it's had such an imprint on, I think, a lot of the guitar music that we've heard coming out of the city in the last couple of years, that I think it's just feels like the right time to have more of it, really. What has the process of writing been like with all of these changes in your lives and big shifts going on? How have you guys managed to actually have this album put together?
Writing never really stops for me. It's something that I find that I can still do. It's getting it together to sort of execute it, I suppose. The bulk of the album was written pre-pandemic, I think, or sort of during, and then I think that I think about half the album was written in the studio. So there's about sort of 6 or 7 songs that no one's heard before, where the other sort of 5 would play live quite a lot.
Yeah.
So I think that we'd road tested a bit of it anyway. I think there was an initial thing with the pandemic stuff where people felt like they were going to be more creative. If someone was in a creative role, they felt like they were maybe going to be, have this time to have this like higher output, where that wasn't really how it transpired for a lot of people.
No.
I think that once that initial pressure got taken off of what the hell it was actually going on, maybe people could settle into kind of doing stuff. However, I didn't really want to do one of those, oh, this is a pandemic album, like it's Bo Burnham's Inside, or you know what I mean?
It
suddenly became like a really played out thing, like, vaccines and stuff, although there is a song where I'm kind of like on, like talking about that kind of stuff. But I guess more in the, I think in the wider sense, that there was like a sort of spiritual chaos going on for a lot of people. And,
yeah, totally.
And this just brought stuff to the surface. So there's like, suddenly people were looking at real world events like it was some sort of cosmic horror. And I think a lot of people, like, if you read, like, say, David Ferrier's Webworm or whatever, he kind of explores the sides of that, where it's a lot more that kind of idea of fantasy being really overpowering, and in the way that sort of comes through with people exploiting each other and different kind of ideologies and stuff. So that stuff's always there, and I guess we like to, focus on weirder sides of stuff. For a punk band who were playing just like, loud music, it's nice to have something else that you're talking about, but I don't know. It hasn't really been too, I don't know if I've been to answer your question. The writing process has been fine.
I feel like what you're saying is really interesting, Tom, and also is now maybe making sense of the very beautiful, quite psychedelic album cover that you've posted up online. It sort of looks like someone falling. I can't work out if they're falling upwards into some sort of void, falling out of some sort of sky, or if they're going into the ocean or something, but there's something about sort of being sucked into some sort of vortex or churned out by something like that. It feels very fitting for all of these ideas that you've been talking about.
Yeah, so that's by a painter who's a good friend of mine named Ari Hellendorn, who we used to both live in Auckland, and he lives in Lower Hutt now, but he's a fantastic painter. You can look up his stuff online. I'll try and post some links to it, to his more of his paintings. But that was from I found that painting online, and he said, I don't even know how it got online because I've never, he'd sort of buried it. So I just asked him if it was okay, and he said it was fine, and then like gave me the original. I re-photographed it and did some of the, I didn't really have to do much to, get the album art working, but he kindly lent us the image, and all you just wanted a cassette of the album because he's an avid cassette collector. So
that seems like a good trade.
It just sort of jumped out to us as far as like something kind of, it sort of reminded me of the Saul Bass Vertigo imagery of it as well. But it's kind of hard to, it's sort of fairly, it's abstract enough and then also striking enough.
Yeah,
to
totally.
Kind of have that balance. So yeah, it's good to have good artwork.
It is good to have good artwork.
Just like, Vivid on CDRs, like, is I don't think I can pull that off anymore.
it's
Kanye's
good,
been doing it.
Good in its own way, but yeah, you gotta have a strong visual standpoint, and I feel like this one really does, you know, elevate what you guys are saying in your music as well. I'm very excited for the gig that you're going to be playing. You've got two of my favourite bands performing with you, or acts performing with you, Power Nap and Wellness.
Yeah.
You're going to be at Whammy Backroom on the 1st of April. What can people expect from that show? Because it might have been a wee while since folks have been to a Guardian Singles gig.
Yeah, I mean, just a good time. come and celebrate the arrival of winter, and by, you know, getting sweaty and pretending it's not, I guess.
Excellent.
Dream lineup. I really love the wellness stuff that I've heard. Chris Powernap's a really old friend of mine, and just finally got to, yeah. Stoked to be able to play with them. So I just imagine it was going to be kind of a good show.
I reckon it's going to be.
Sure. There's not going to be any pyrotechnics or anything.
Hey,
sorry,
you never know. Flames coming off your guitars,
like,
or Fiona's drumsticks. I would believe it, to be honest.
I really like Backroom though. Actually, it's got a great sound in there, and they do actually have kind of a beautiful, like, sort of cyberpunky light thing behind the stage, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I also enjoy that. I think that's a very accurate description of it. We're going to listen to the first single from the album, Feed Me to the Doves, which is a very beautiful title for a record. Chad and Stacey is the name of the single that's out now. Tell us a wee bit about this song, Tom. What were you kind of exploring when you were thinking about writing this track?
Well, I was trying to rip off like Wooden Ships or something like that. Like, it started out musically it kind of started out as a lot kind of more chill, I suppose. And it kind of, usually the other thing about writing is that I never really seem to manage to hit what I'm going for. It always ends up being sort of something else. So it ended up kind of sounding a bit more hectic, lyrically.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could just say someone unraveling in the manosphere.
Yep. I'm sure. Yeah, I think people can probably pick apart the rest from that one. But yeah, I've really enjoyed listening to this, and I'm excited to see it live. Tom, thank you so much for chatting with us. So looking forward to hearing the rest of this album. Also, I can see that if you do get it on vinyl, you can get a Whirlpool Blue vinyl as well, which feels very glamorous and fitting of the kind of vortexy vibes we've been talking about this morning. So that's one for the vinyl heads out there to pre-order as well. Tom, thank you so much for chatting with us. When is the album going to be out in the world?
May the 29th, I want to say. It's end of May. It's like from the 26th to the 29th. And we'll have some. We've got another song, a couple of songs coming out before then, though.
Excellent.
One of the songs we've played live is a new one that we've played live quite a bit, but the video for it we're just finishing off, which is fully animated.
Oh, cool.
And it's taken 5 months of just the director working in slave-like conditions to do that. But it's looking really amazing, so we're really stoked to have that out soon as well.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. No, we're good. We're glad to be back, so...
Well, it's good to have you back.
Coming to a
town near Auckland for sure on the 1st of April. We'll see you at Backroom, Tom.
See you there. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for chatting.
See ya.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.